Streaming live. The leader in Internet talk radio. VoiceAmerica.com. Welcome to Crime Prevention 101 with host Susan Barnelstone. We're so happy you've joined us this weekend. Over the next hour, you'll learn the tips, tricks, and vital information that'll help you keep yourself confident and safe. Now, here's the host of Crime Prevention 101, Susan Barnelstone.
Welcome to Crime Prevention 101, the personal safety radio show with the optimistic perspective on a sober subject. And as always, it is my great honor and great privilege and great pleasure to be here with you once again and spend the next hour with you. And I hope that you had a safe week since you were last together. That's one of the reasons that I do this show. And if you find this show of benefit, please, please tell your friends about it. We really want to get these important subjects and the kind of information I'm giving out on this show out to as many people as possible. And I have an amazing show. I can't wait to start this show. But before I do, I just have a couple of little news items that I thought might be of interest. Now, you might have noticed that Voice America has a brand new website. And that I have, and all the hosts, have a brand new host page. And this is such an amazing host page because it allows you the capability of emailing the shows. And this show today is one that you're going to want to send to all your friends. You can email it. You can post it on Facebook. You can post it on Twitter. You can actually bookmark your favorite shows on your own personal account, so that you can go back to them and listen again and listen to the tips that I give out and all the vital information. You can also contact me directly from my host page and tell me your thoughts. And I really hope you do. And because I want to hear from you. I want to hear your comments. I want to hear your questions. Here's the easiest way for you possibly to do it. Also, if you are on Twitter, please send out a tweet right now. Tell all your friends you're listening to Crime Prevention 101 so others can join in. That would be terrific. Another news item, I have a new website as well, SusanBartlestone.com. And I know I've been giving out DearSafetySolutions.com, and it will take you, if you have that website, you can go right to my new one. But please check out SusanBartlestone.com. And I've also, my new book, Think Fast and Prevent a Violent Crime, is also available. And that website is 22ndresponse.com. So there's lots of good stuff. Now, April is Sexual Assault Awareness Month. And I'm going to be doing a whole month. I've been doing a whole month of programs on different aspects of sexual assault. And I get invited to a lot of conferences and symposiums and things, and that's where I come up with a lot of my ideas for the programming. And I got invited to a workshop last month, actually, that gave me the idea to do this show today. And I have a new toy. I have a nice little field microphone. And I went to this conference, and it was called Bringing in the Bystander, and how to form a community of responsibility in terms of preventing sexual assault. And this was particularly addressing bystanders in a college campus. And it was an amazing workshop that I went to. And I went with my new toy, my little field microphone, and I taped an interview with Professor Robert Eckstein, who was the facilitator of that workshop. He's from the University of New Hampshire. And I also now that came out just fine. I also taped a bunch of other interviews that I taped over. So I'm going to be playing you his interview in two parts. And I also have with me the young woman. And this is such an impressive woman. When I introduce you, you're going to see why, who organized this conference, and she's going to talk with me a little bit, and then we're going to listen to the interview that I did, and then we'll talk some more. And we are live, by the way, today. So if you want to call in and give us your comments on anything that we're talking about, we're going to be happy to take these calls. And the number to call is 866-472-5788 for the call-ins. Now, this young woman that I'm going to introduce to you, her name is Jaren Alam. She's originally from Bangladesh, and she is now a senior at the City University of New York System, Hunter College Division. And by the way, the City University is comprised here of 23 colleges and special graduate programs. There's senior colleges, there's community colleges, and all these special programs. And she's at this, she takes classes at a number of them, particularly at Hunter College. She's majoring in marketing and public relations, and while she's been at Hunter, she served on the student government there. She was, and she's the president of the Hunter Women's Rights Coalition. And she was instrumental in bringing this bystander training to Hunter College, where she's trying to make it part of the whole City University curriculum. And she's one of two students who proposed creating a CUNY-wide, that's what they call it, CUNY, a CUNY-wide sexual assault policy. And she's on a task force now that's drafting this sexual assault policy for the whole 23 institutions in the CUNY system. She was recently appointed to the NOW National Young Feminist Task Force, and she does a lot of speaking around sexual assault and sexual violence. Jaren, welcome to Crime Prevention 101.
Thank you, Susan. It's such a pleasure to be on.
Oh, it's my pleasure, absolutely. Now, this workshop that you organized, along with the Women's Rights Coalition at Hunter College, you had public safety trainers from all of the CUNY system came there, as well as rape crisis counselors from around the city and so forth, all trained in this topic. Just to talk a little bit about how you got involved with this issue and what made you decide to bring this training into to Hunter and to the system.
Well, as you know, Susan, one out of four college women will be affected by sexual assault at least once in their lifetime, which means every college student knows a survivor. Even if they haven't told us, we know a survivor. Maybe we just don't know they're a survivor because they haven't felt comfortable enough sharing that information. So it's really important that we engage this issue, especially in a country like America. You know, we're not some third world, war-torn country where it's acceptable to have one out of four women being sexually assaulted. I think it's really important that we engage this issue and make the statistics better.
Okay, absolutely. And what was the City University's response when you came to them with the idea of this program, this bystander program?
It was me and another student named Alicia Flood. Alicia is a John Jay student. She's really great. She's doing a BA MA program. And it was really her idea to make it CUNY-wide. When I first started thinking about it, I was only thinking about Hunter College, but she wanted to expand it to all 450,000 students. And when we took the idea to the Vice Chancellor of Legal Affairs, he really liked it. He thought it was a good idea to have a CUNY-wide policy. And right away, he formed a task force that has people from all different parts of CUNY, students, faculty, public safety, vice president offices, and we started working on it.
Good. Wonderful. This is such an amazing thing, and I understand that there is actually a blog that's tracking the progress of this. I got this HTTP... / CUNY policy, that's CUNY policy .blogspot.com. Is that something that you're involved with too?
Well, Alicia and I originally set it up together, but she's really the one who's running it right now. And there are other students there, CUNY-wide, who are helping update the blog and just contact everyone and keep everyone in the loop, because both Alicia and I and everyone involved, all the students, we really want this to be a transparent process, because it's something that will affect all 450,000 of us. So it should be something that we agree to and that reflects our needs.
And I also think, because if we can, you know, this is a national or an international show, you know, people can log on at, from other schools and see the progress that you guys are making and hopefully institute a similar policy in their own school. Because it is, as you said, it is a national, probably international problem.
Absolutely. And I'm so glad that President Obama just came out and he made a presidential proclamation marking April the National Sexual Assault Awareness Month.
Yes. Well, it's been that for a while, but we need that reinforcement over and over and over again to let people know about this issue. Now, I want to talk a little bit, Darren, about this bystander training and what it is that's so important. And I want to go back in history. I know you know about this this case, too. But back in 1964, there was a really terrible murder of a 28-year-old woman. And her name was Kitty Genovese. And she was actually murdered right outside her, in front of her apartment building, in a very nice, quiet suburb of New York City. And what really made this crime even more horrific was that this assault took over a half an hour, with the assailant coming back three times to stab and rape her. And it was witnessed by 37 of her neighbors, who shut their eyes and ears to what was happening and did absolutely nothing to intervene, not even calling the police. And today, the slaying of Kitty Genovese has become a metaphor for the tendency of observers of a crime to remain uninvolved, and it's actually called the bystander effect. Now, we're going to hear more about how to bring in that bystander and form that community of responsibility very shortly. So fasten your seatbelts and don't go anywhere. We're coming right back.
Voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com. After more than 17 years' experience teaching safety skills to thousands of women and men, crime prevention and personal safety expert Susan Bartlestone concluded that by thinking and responding quickly, ideally within 20 seconds, potentially violent criminal encounters can be prevented. Using techniques from many different disciplines and illustrated by 60 real-life examples and success stories, Susan shows how it's done in her new book, Think Fast and Prevent a Violent Crime, how to respond to danger in 20 seconds or less. Check out www.fightsafe.com for more information. You'll also find information there on Susan's upcoming Crime Prevention 101 personal safety teleseminars. Think fast, talk fast, fight smart, which stress the many opportunities you have to deter or defuse a criminal encounter and how to use your brains instead of your muscles in a fight. Look for the new book information or sign up for Susan Bartlestone's personal safety seminars at www.fightsafe.com today.
Hi. My name is Aaron, and I'm a survivor of mannequinism. Mannequinism is basically when you turn into a hard plastic shell. They say it's from not being politically active. For me, it started when I didn't register to vote. And then I stopped volunteering, and before I knew it, I wasn't doing anything. And that's when I found a small patch of plastic on my right shoulder.
Protect yourself from mannequinism. Log on to fightmannequinism.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Interstate Sportsman Talk Radio Show brings two well-known outdoorsmen to the Voice America Network with hunting and fishing info news, talking about everything from new sporting gear, places to hunt and fish, and getting more from your recreation time. Join hosts Brock Ray and Don Kirk Friday mornings at 6 a.m. Pacific Time, 9 Eastern, for the Interstate Sportsman on the Voice America channel.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com. You're listening to Crime Prevention 101 with Susan Bartlestone. We invite you to share your stories, tips, or suggestions for topics you'd like us to cover, and Susan will address some of these on future shows. Send your story or idea to solutions at fightsafe.com. That email address again is solutions at fightsafe.com. Now back to Crime Prevention 101 with Susan Bartlestone.
Oh, welcome back to Crime Prevention 101. I'm speaking with Jaron Allen from Hunter College, and we're talking about how bystanders can prevent a sexual assault. So don't forget to send out that tweet about us right now. There's still plenty of show left. I also wanted to say, as I always do at this point, if you are already a survivor of any kind of crime, like what we're talking about today, or anything, please understand, and you've got to remember this, nothing that happened to you was your fault. Even if you think that you used bad judgment in a situation and left yourself vulnerable, that is never, never, never an excuse for a crime or for violence. And no, there's no right or wrong responses. There's no should-haves. I should have done this. If you are alive, you responded correctly. Please call yourself a survivor and not a victim. And you got to understand that with proper help, with professional help, you can put what happened into perspective and you can get on with your life. Now, Jaron and I were talking about the bystander effect. And the bystander effect is just this tendency for people viewing a crime or anything that they don't really understand to freeze in fear and denial, and just sort of be unable to take any action. But the interesting thing is that if just one person responds, that seems to unfreeze everybody, and others will join in. And I'm going to be talking also about a video clip that someone sent me at the end. I've got some tips on what to do if you're a bystander as well. And I want to just set up the this clip that I have, that I interviewed Professor Robert Eckstein, who did the Bring in the Bystander workshop at Hunter College that Jaron Allen brought together. Robert Eckstein, he's from the University of New Hampshire, and he's part of a team that goes around the country teaching this bystander curriculum to students, both male and female, to teachers, to anyone that's interested, so that they can establish this program on their individual campus. And it was this bystander curriculum was developed at the University of New Hampshire after the death of a female student on that campus. And what it teaches bystanders to do is how they can intervene safely and effectively in incidents where sexual assault may be occurring or where someone may be at risk. And the main message is that everyone in the community has a role to play in ending sexual violence. And William, we're ready. Let's go to the tape.
I'm speaking with Professor Robert Eckstein. Professor, will you just introduce yourself a little bit, tell who you are and what you're doing here today?
Sure. My name is Robert Eckstein, and I'm a professor of psychology and justice studies at the University of New Hampshire in Durham, New Hampshire. And in addition to teaching there, I'm also part of a research team called Prevention Innovations, along with a number of other faculty members. We write educational resources and train individuals and do research in the field of sexual violence and intimate partner violence prevention.
And we're here today at Hunter College, which is part of the CUNY system of how many colleges, or do you know?
I don't know. Oh, okay. I know, and I'm a CUNY grad too, and I don't know how many are in the
There are a number of them. So what's the purpose of this workshop today?
Well, about 5 years ago, it was before I was on board, but some of my colleagues at the University of New Hampshire wrote a program called Bringing in the Bystander, which is, at the time, kind of a new way of addressing sexual violence and intimate partner violence prevention that involves educating regular citizens to become more proactive, pro-social bystanders. And it's basically a program that teaches people to pay closer attention, to understand that sexual violence exists on a continuum, and there are certain things that people can do proactively to prevent sexual violence from occurring. So we wrote this program about 4 or 5 years ago, and right at the outset, some of the folks at UNH decided to test the efficacy of the program. So we did a number of empirical studies to see if the program was effective, and we've had some success showing the program increases people's likelihood to want to help others, increases bystander behavior, decreases belief in rape myths and other things that contribute to sexual violence occurring. And so we've been having some success implementing the program at the University of New Hampshire. And once word got out that we were having some success and the program seemed to be working, more and more universities originally around the New England area, but now a little bit more around the country, have contacted us and asked us to come to different schools. Sometimes when myself or one of my colleagues goes to a school, it is just to talk a little bit about the program, just to tell them what the program is about and talk a little bit about the research and some of the data that we have. And I did that last year. I came to Hunter about a year ago, and I just gave a basic presentation. I talked a little bit about my research team and what we do. And it went well. So this year they invited me back actually to train students at Hunter College to implement the program. I can't take any of the credit for this because this is really my colleagues more than me. I work with a woman named Vicky Banyard, who's a psychology professor, and Mary Moynihan, who's a professor of women's studies, and Sharon Potter, who's a professor of sociology. And they are remarkably generous with our material. Everything we've done is copyrighted, and they've put a lot of work into it. But they're really generous because they really care about this idea and this topic. So we go to different schools and we train students on how to implement the program. And then if they're invested in it, we let them use the program because we want more and more students and more people even beyond universities to get this training and to train others. And we think there's a kind of a pay it forward component to it where one person can teach another and then another. And it is a community-based model. So that's why I'm here today, to train as many of the students at Hunter as possible so that they can implement the program at Hunter and then maybe ultimately at other CUNY schools as well.
And I certainly have heard of incidents where people observed the crime process and did nothing. Is that what we're talking about, the bystander?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, the famous story that we reference in our program is the Kitty Genovese story, which is, you know, has become kind of a legendary story in American history. And that was a story that happened in the 1960s in New York City. It was a story that made people wonder. This is a woman who was murdered in front of somewhere between 20 and 30 witnesses, some eyewitnesses, some people who overheard it, and nobody did anything to help her. And it led to people saying, why does this happen? Why is it that people don't intervene? And Kitty Genovese led to an entire field of study in social psychology of bystander intervention or the lack thereof. And there's been lots of wonderful research that looks at why people do and don't intervene and ways to reach people so that they're more likely to intervene. The first thing we do in our program is tell people that bystanders actually have power to make a difference and to encourage people to not be passive, but to be, you know, proactive and pro-social bystanders. So we're trying to change people's idea of what it means to be a bystander, and not just to stand by and allow things to happen, but to pay closer attention to the things that go on around them.
And I'm actually a little bit familiar with the bystander effect. It's one of the, because I've taught self-defense and I do teach crime prevention. And one of the things that we always say is don't yell help if you have a problem, because that immediately puts people into that bystander role and they have no idea what to do. And there are far better things that you can say and do in order to get help for yourself if that's the situation that calls for that. Is that kind of what you're talking about in terms of teaching?
We actually focus more, not necessarily on the victim, but more on the bystanders. More on, you know, traditionally rape prevention programs have either looked at addressing generally women on things that they can do to be more safe. And those are obviously effective and important programs. What something that's been a little bit less effective are programs aimed at men that sort of teach them, I'm obviously simplifying this a little bit, but teach them why it's dangerous to commit sexual crimes and why they shouldn't be doing it. Ultimately, that sort of fosters defensiveness in men, because when you get a lot of men in a room, the overwhelming majority of them are not sexual predators, and they become defensive. And the ones that are probably aren't going to stop if they attend a program. So the philosophy of this program is, why don't we address everybody else? Why don't we address all the other people that are out there, so that they can be more aware of the things that are going on around them? And, you know, we there's a little bit of a, I don't want to say a bias isn't the right word, but a little bit of a, I guess the way that we approach the topic is, we work mostly on college campuses, and on college campuses, the overwhelming majority of sexual assaults are committed by people that the survivor knows. So by friends or boyfriends or somebody they're on a date with or a friend of a friend. So when we talk about bystander intervention, we're talking exactly what you're talking about. But in addition to that, being proactive. So knowing who is coming to a party, keeping an eye on your drink, keeping an eye on the, you know, having a game plan so that when you leave, nobody leaves at the same time. Taking a co-ed approach so that men and women are working together to be safe about these things. Educating people on the risk of alcohol and how alcohol increases the likelihood of a sexual assault occurring. So, yeah. So it's, I mean, everything that you mentioned is part of it as well. And then also acknowledging that sexual assault or sexual violence does exist on a continuum. And part of the underlying, some of the underlying reasons of why we have high incidence of sexual assault is because of things like sexism and things like hypermasculinity and gender bias, and also teaching people to be proactive bystanders as far as that's concerned. So if you hear a sexist joke, make a comment about that. If you see a woman being mistreated, or really anybody being mistreated, you know, have the guts to speak up and say something, and what are some effective ways to have that conversation. So even if you see somebody just being maybe verbally harassed on the subway, checking in with her to make sure that she's okay. So not just stopping a rape right before it happens or while it's happening, but just being more alert to the antecedents that can cause rape, and how even really little things, like just calling out your friends on the sexist language that they use, might create an environment where women feel safer and are a little bit safer.
Now, of course, when you stand up, you always have the possibility of being knocked down.
Yeah, yeah.
That is a difficult thing to do. How do you address that?
Yeah. Well, part of it is being okay with the idea that you might get knocked down. I mean, one thing that I say is, you know, we in psychology or in research, we talk about type 1 and type 2 errors. You're probably, most people will acknowledge getting embarrassed is something that they can live with. If they speak up and people laugh at them, they're embarrassed. And the alternative, though, is not speaking up and somebody maybe getting hurt. So which I always use the example of, we all have incidents where we wish we said something and we go to bed that night and have the make-believe conversation with ourselves. The next time I hear a comment like that, I'm going to say this and this and this. So I challenge people to try it once, you know, and stand up and say something. And generally, once people try it, they realize that it's better than the, even if it's anxiety provoking or stressful, it's better than the feeling you get when you should have said something and didn't. But part of it also is getting other people involved. So rather than being the lone person that stands up and says something, or in your, you know, some of the more overt examples, stopping something while it's happening, enlist allies, because that's something that grows out of the bystander literature. That if you, people tend to be passive, but if you ask people to help, generally they will. So enlisting allies, getting other people involved, there's safety in numbers and there's efficacy in numbers as well.
There was a very interesting show that I watched just about this, I think it was on E of all channels. And what they did was they actually simulated a date rape situation. They took a very pleasant kind of upscale, middle class upscale bar. It was a nice summer day. They put two actors, a male and a female, supposedly on a first date.
Mm-hmm.
When the female went to the ladies' room, the male put some sugar packets into her drink and did it in such a way that all the people around that were close by could see. And the premise was, who was going to speak up and what were they going to say? Were they going to warn this woman or not? And quite a number of people did absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
It took several hours.
Yeah.
And then even when people did speak up, they were very, very sort of cryptic about it. Oh, I wouldn't drink that drink. If you know, it was, they, rather than saying, I saw him put something into your drink.
Yeah.
Now, this is the kind of thing that you're talking
about,
correct?
That's exactly the type of thing we're talking about. And I'm not, unfortunately, I'm not surprised that a lot of people didn't speak up, and that's why we're, you know, doing this program and hoping to reach more people.
4 hours, Professor.
Before
someone actually...
That's so sad.
And there were even a group of men who were cheering this fellow on.
I bet. Yeah.
There was one scenario that they showed where they were going, yeah, he's on first date, you're going to get lucky
that's
tonight.
That's awful. There's David Lisak, who's a researcher at the University of Massachusetts. He talks a lot about bystanders and the role that bystanders play. He also talks about an even higher level called facilitators. So people, and the men that you're describing are they're beyond bystanders. They're actually facilitating the, you know, these are men who sort of, not, they don't have to be men, but in this case it sounds like they were, who they almost, they live vicariously through the predator, you know, which is really unfortunate.
Indeed.
I mean, one of the things that we need to start doing around this is building empathy. You know, it seems a little trite or cliched, but it always works really well when I do it with college students, that what if that was your sister? What would you hope that the people at the bar were doing? What if that was your mom? What would you hope the people at the bar were doing? And people start getting that, you know, and the idea that obviously everybody is somebody's sister, everybody is somebody's mom. We are, as human beings, we're remarkably empathic for people that we know, and that empathy drops off considerably for people that we don't know. So, trying to, you know, kind of bridge the empathy gap as far as that's concerned.
That is a huge question.
All right. I'm so impressed with myself. That sounded so good. We're going to take a quick pause. I've got resources for you coming up on bystander training. I've got safety tips, so stay tuned.
News. Opinion. Can you hear me? Your voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com. After more than 17 years' experience teaching safety skills to thousands of women and men, crime prevention and personal safety expert Susan Bartlestone concluded that by thinking and responding quickly, ideally within 20 seconds, potentially violent criminal encounters can be prevented. Using techniques from many different disciplines and illustrated by 60 real-life examples and success stories, Susan shows how it's done in her new book, Think Fast and Prevent a Violent Crime, How to Respond to Danger in 20 Seconds or Less. Check out www.fightsafe.com for more information. You'll also find information there on Susan's upcoming Crime Prevention 101 personal safety teleseminars. Think fast, talk fast, fight smart, which stress the many opportunities you have to deter or defuse a criminal encounter and how to use your brains instead of your muscles in a fight. Look for the new book information or sign up for Susan Bartlestone's personal safety seminars at www.fightsafe.com today.
What's it like?
What's it like?
It's lonely.
It's really lonely.
I miss my brother.
I miss my brother.
I'm surrounded by other people, but it's not the same.
I've got other people around me, but it's not the same.
It's pretty scary, but I don't let it rattle me.
It's pretty scary around here, but I don't let it rattle me.
You always have to watch your back.
There's no one to watch my back.
I spend my whole day worried who's out to get me.
I'm always wondering who's out to get me.
But I can take care of myself.
But I can take care of myself.
No matter what, I'll keep my head up.
No matter what, I'll keep my head up.
It's not like I have a choice.
It's not like I have a choice.
This'll all be over in 5 years, 3 months, and 17 days.
This'll all be over in 5 years, 3 months, and 17 days.
Go to jail for a gun crime and your family serves a sentence with you. Something to think about before committing a gun crime. Gun crimes hit home. This message brought to you by Project Safe Neighborhoods and the Ad Council.
Frankly Speaking About Cancer is a program designed to empower survivors and their caregivers to deal with the social and emotional challenges of cancer. Drawing on resources from wellness communities throughout America and abroad, the show will invite physicians, researchers, nurses, social workers, patients, and caregivers to share their advice on how to live a better life with cancer. Join host Kim Tibaldo, President and CEO of the Wellness Community, Tuesday afternoons at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Network. The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com. You're listening to Crime Prevention 101 with Susan Bartlestone. We invite you to share your stories, tips, or suggestions for topics you'd like us to cover, and Susan will address some of these on future shows. Send your story or idea to solutions@fightsafe.com. That email address again is solutions@fightsafe.com. Now back to Crime Prevention 101 with Susan Bartlestone.
Welcome back. And if you're just tuning in, I'm talking with Jaron Allen, a senior at Hunter College, and we're listening to the Bringing in the Bystander tape clip that I recorded at the Bringing in the Bystander training, Professor Robert Eckstein. Amazing interview that I gave, and I'm just so proud of myself, truly, that I was able to actually figure out how to use this recording device. I just want to remind you to don't forget to check out my SusanBartlestone.com website. I'm going to be posting all the resources that I'm talking about in this show on my website. I'm also going to post it on my Facebook page. You can follow me. You can be my friend, Susan Bartlestone on Facebook, and S. Bartlestone on Twitter. And also, there's a couple of resources I've got for you. There's a book called Engaging Bystanders in Sexual Violence Prevention, and this is by Joan Tabachnik, T-A-B-A-C-H-N-I-C-K, and it's published by the National Sexual Violence Resource Center, and they're actually going to be my guests next week, nsvrc.org. I'm going to post that link on my website. And on their website, they actually have a webinar, Engaging Bystanders in Violence Prevention Against Women. So, and that was done by PreventConnect.org. So we're going to get ready to listen to the second part of the clip. William, how are we doing? Are we ready for it? Oops. William. All right. Let's go to the tape.
Huge question. And, you know, there was even one, there was a husband and wife sitting there. The man when he saw it, he immediately jumped in there. Uh-huh. She, the wife, said, would you shut up? Would you sit
down? Yeah.
Would you mind your own business?
Yeah.
You know, you have to make sure that the bystanders that you turn to for help are on the same.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's one that goes all the way back to Kitty Genovese when they asked people why they didn't help her. I didn't think it was any of my business. And we actually use some examples in our program whereby pro-social bystanders are saying it's everybody's business. I mean, if somebody is going to be sexually assaulted or in some instances maybe murdered, it becomes everybody's business. You know, we actually as a society, we've moved in a pretty good direction in terms of bystanding when it comes to certain things. So a child being abused, our empathy level is high. We tend to intervene more. We use an example in our program about drunk driving where we actually are pretty good about intervening as far as drunk driving. One of the reasons is there's lots of education around child abuse. Lots of, Mothers Against Drunk Driving, they've done a great job educating the public. So a big part of our program is educating people on the reality of sexual assault, how prevalent it is, how likely it is to happen to somebody that you care about, dispelling some of the rape myths. If we educate people about sexual assault and domestic violence in general, the bystander effect will improve because people will be more well-educated on it.
Great point. And there was another case that happened in Bedford, Massachusetts. Are you familiar with that case where a woman went into a bar and there was a group of men playing pool? And she was thrown down onto the pool table. And in full view of all of these people, She was raped, and I believe that this was the first time that they charged bystanders.
I'm not aware of that story. Wow.
There was actually a movie made out of this starring Kelly McGillis some years ago, like 97 or something like that. I think that in some states, if you are an active bystander?
Yeah. Well, if you're a passive bystander, a bystander who chooses not to intervene.
Well, they were cheering the
facilitators.
They were facilitators. They were cheering him on.
Yeah.
And I believe that they were able to be charged under Massachusetts law. And I think, of course, that will vary state by state. I'm not even sure in New York, truthfully.
I don't know either. Yeah.
I know in
New Hampshire we don't have laws in place to protect bystanders who intervene in a positive way, where we don't really have laws in place.
The Good Samaritan laws?
That's something we're working on our campus, actually, is trying to implement better Good Samaritan laws for our students, so that if a 19-year-old kid is drinking and they report something that's problematic, they won't get in trouble for the underage drink. You know, they might get into some trouble, but not as much as they would otherwise.
Right.
Yeah, I think it's, again, because it's a community model, everybody's got to be on board with this. And I think that's, you know, I think people who overtly aid in a case like that, cheering it on, whatever, absolutely. I mean, I think those people should be held accountable.
Yeah, I actually believe they were. I don't know the extent of what it was. That's something for my homework. I'm going to do my homework.
Yeah, yeah. I will
actually let you know. And
okay.
I'll try and find out what's
really
happening in New York. Because there have been a number of actual cases that are kind of infamous that involves groups of bystanders cheering the person on.
Yeah.
And you also see that, by the way, when people are on a ledge and they're distraught and they're thinking about suicide and people down on the street are going, We definitely have to speak up.
Yeah.
Tell me about the mechanics. If someone wanted to get you down to their school, how would they do it?
They can if they go to the University of New Hampshire website, look for Prevention Innovations.
And what is that website?
It's unh.edu.
unh.edu.
And once you're on the website, just look just do a search for Prevention Innovations, and you will get my contact info and the contact info of three or four of my colleagues as well. Generally we go to colleges and universities, although a little over a year ago, Vicki Banyard and I, I mentioned earlier, a colleague of mine, we did a training for the U.S. Air Force, and we're going to be doing some work with the Army this year.
Fantastic.
Yeah. And more and more, I guess maybe twice within the last year, we just went to communities. We went to some domestic violence and sexual assault crisis centers and did some training for community members. So
I just found an article today that one out of three women in the armed forces are subject to sexual assault or harassment.
Yeah, the numbers are really, really high.
Huge.
To their credit, we went in there and we were, it's hard because they come from an entirely different culture. They have, you know, sort of a historic way of doing things and a consistent way of doing things. And we were these academics that came in with really, I don't want to overstate it, but kind of a revolutionary way of looking at this problem. And they were really accepting of it. And they really kind of understood it and knew that they needed to change the way they do things. And especially in terms of seemingly benign acts of sexism or discrimination that leads to more overt forms of crime, addressing those things a little bit better. And they couldn't have been more welcoming and appreciative when we were
that
there.
That is very, very welcome news.
Yeah.
How many schools have been trained so far in this?
I think we're a little more than 10. I think maybe like 10 or 12 schools. We actually just the other day got approval to do research where we're going to contact all the schools that we've gone to and see how it's going. We're going to interview people at the schools to see if they've implemented the program, to what extent they've implemented it, you know, what kind of success they've had. So yeah, we've done a lot of research at UNH, and we've done a pretty decent job of demonstrating that the program works, and we've been able to justify its existence, at least at our school. We just got a grant from the CDC about a month ago that we're going to formally test the program at our school as well as some other schools in the
and
New England
the
area.
CDC is what?
The Center for Disease Control. Yes.
So government agency.
Yeah, yeah.
So you got a nice grant.
We did. Yep.
All right.
So on the success of some of our earlier work, I believe it's at, now at the University of New Hampshire as well as University of Massachusetts at Lowell. We're going to do a really well-constructed pre-test, post-test follow-up study with all the participants. And the other study that I was mentioning is we're going to see if it's if people, you know, because we go on these trainings, it goes great, people are really gracious and say they can't wait to implement it, but then we go back to New Hampshire and don't know if what they're doing with it. So we're doing a study now where we're catching up with all the people we've trained over the last 2 years to see how it's going. We're doing basically a from research to practice type of a study.
Well, it sounds like you could use a little kind of support network after the training that people can check in.
Yeah. It's
interactive.
You know, it's really informal, which is really nice that they'll just shoot me an email and ask me a question. But because we've got so much going on, sometimes we do lose touch with people after we've...
That's a good idea, too. And I think that's important, too. And what about high schools? How can we get this?
We get that question all the time, and that is kind of on our to-do list. Everywhere we go, and it's true, people always bring up, kids are coming into college with these ideas in place and without having good knowledge of this and just not even understanding the basics of what a healthy relationship looks like. And so everywhere we go, we're like, we need to roll it back even further. So that is one of the things that we've worked on in the last year or so is doing a little bit, our original program focused a little bit more on sexual assault. We're trying to not necessarily change our program, but implement our program in a way that we can address domestic violence a little bit more. And one of the other projects for the near future is creating a program for slightly younger participants. Yep.
They need help in these high schools.
Absolutely.
And maybe even, we've
heard that. Yeah, whenever we say high school and then somebody raises their hand and says, how about the middle schools? Because it goes all the way back.
I just put an article on my Facebook account and my Facebook page about something called rainbowing. I don't know if you've heard about this. But the pressure for sexual activity is extremely high. 11 to 14 and certainly above 14. And rainbowing, where young girls put on different color lipsticks and perform oral sex, and it has a rainbow effect on the guy.
Oh my goodness!
And it's hideous. And this has been validated, though you never. It came from a very respected news source. It wasn't just something that someone sent.
Right.
And I don't know how prevalent this is, but people that want to have the ability to say no, and that this is not for me, and this is not what I'm into.
Yeah.
We've got to help give them some of that backbone.
Absolutely.
And some support.
Yeah.
Here's where I see that bystander effect coming in, because if you're laughed at and you're 12 or 13, it
Absolutely.
Is the end of the world.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, so much of our program is just the basics of treating other people kindly, you know, and that starts much sooner, obviously, than college or high school. Just the basics of how people deserve to be treated, what a healthy relationship looks like, allowing people to be comfortable saying no, allowing people to be comfortable not, you know, conforming to something they don't want to conform to. Yeah, I mean, it needs to start earlier than that. You know, completely unrelated to our work, there actually has been a recent kind of rise in program using a bystander model to prevent bullying in elementary school and middle school.
Oh yes, that would be another perfect example of it.
Yeah,
isn't it?
The programs are quite different than ours because the topic is different and the audience is different, but the philosophical underpinnings are very similar in terms of getting the community invested, looking at people that stand up as being heroic, you know, who stand up for other people. So those programs, there are other researchers who are doing work in that area.
That occurs when they're like 6 and 7.
No, it's very early.
Pretty much when they start grade school.
Yeah.
I don't know how you're going to teach them to...
It's tough.
They can barely understand what's happening to themselves.
Yeah, absolutely.
The children that are bullied tend to believe what the bullies are saying.
Of course,
that there's something wrong with me.
Yeah, it's about changing the social norm so that the person who, you know, stands up to the bully or just politely explains to the bully why that's not right for somebody who's maybe a child who's more marginalized or not as popular, changing the social norm that standing up for a marginalized kid is actually a cool thing to do or a heroic thing to do. Because there's no law that says the social norm has to stay the way that it is. Social norms change all the time, and education can kind of speed that up a little bit.
Now, I don't want to reduce this to a teensy little thing, but are there tips that you give out that we can talk, even just 3 or 4 really good tips?
Yeah, I mean, I deal more with college students, and what I generally tell college students is be proactive when you go out. You know, have a game plan in terms of what you're going to be doing, where you're going to go. I think technology is helpful in terms of if you go out, have everybody's cell phone number. If you go to a party with 6 people, make sure you leave with 6 people. Never leave anybody behind. There was a tragic story a couple of years I know in New York City that I think was a John Jay student.
All right. We actually had, I got more information than I thought I got on this clip, and I've got a whole bunch of safety tips also for you. He has some good tips on his website, and I'm going to make sure I give that website. It's www.unh.edu/preventioninnovations. Now, Jaron, just a quick mention. You've got an important forum coming up on April 29th. You want to talk a few minutes about that or a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. As I mentioned, Alicia and I and the other students involved really want this CUNY-wide sexual assault policy to be as transparent and inclusive as possible. So we're having a public forum where students and members of the community can come and give us feedback on what they think about the policy, you know, what's good, what's bad, what needs to be added. And that will be held at Hunter College on April 29th between 1 and 3 p.m. And the exact room will be up on the blog very soon, but they should just be able to Google Hunter College and public forum, and that should come up.
Okay, so if you're in New York City and you want to do that, check it out. Will you put the information on that cunypolicy.blogspot.com also, so people across the country can check in there and see how it's coming?
Absolutely, and I just wanted to mention one other resource. For college students all around the country, there is an organization called SAFER, which stands for Students Active for Ending Rape. SAFER is the organization that put Alicia and I together, which started this whole process for CUNY. And they're really amazing, really supportive of college students trying to change their sexual assault policy or trying to make sure it's implemented. And it's safercampus.org. They're really, really great. I highly recommend everyone to log on and ask for their support.
And I'm familiar with them. They are amazing. They're doing such wonderful work. Well, Jaron, thank you so much for coming on the show and helping me out today. Professor Eckstein, in absentia, thank you so much. I'm going to make sure that you get a copy of this show because I think it's extremely important. I'm also going to be posting this show. It's going to be on my Voice America host page. It's going to be on my new SusanBartlestone.com website. It's going to be on CrimePrevention101.com. I'm going to have all these resources and links on that website there as well. Please send it out to other people. Let them know about this show. It's just too important not to get the word out on it. If you've got a question or a comment for me, you can email me, solutions@fightsafe.com. If you've got a public comment, please post it on my host page on the voiceamerica.com website, and I'd be happy to answer your questions. I would also love any, if you've got a safety concern that you would like me to help you with, a suggestion for the shows or any comments on the past shows, I will be absolutely thrilled to hear from you. You can do that also, solutions@fightsafe.com. You could also do it again on my host page. Now, next week, I'm going to be talking with the National Sexual Violence Resource Center, and they are the go-to about Sexual Assault Awareness Month. They have a lot of suggestions for things that you can do to observe this month and to promote the awareness of this problem all year long and not just in April. You're not going to want to miss this show. In fact, it'd be a crime not to listen. So stay tuned and stay safe.
hope you got some useful information and inspiration this week on Crime Prevention 101. Susan Bartlestone invites you to join us again next Saturday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time and 2 p.m. Eastern Time here on Voice America. Have a great weekend and a safe weekend.